Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Lagerman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Coming up, Tony Baselli from University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Tonight is Thursday Night Football. The Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. Good matchup. We'll get a preview of that ball game. We'll break down the Jags-Chargers matchup a little bit more. It's always, I don't know if fun's the right word, but it's always, I guess, fun. It's fun to see a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback and see how your team's going to perform against it. You want a challenge like that, especially for a defense like this. They did it once already with Roethlisberger earlier in the season. Why not slay another dragon in Phillip Rivers, a guy who has smoked you throughout his career? You know? I mean, it's always kind of fun to see the challenge.
Well, and it's a challenge because Phillip Rivers has been so good, you know, against this football team. I mean, here's the numbers. Versus the Jaguars in seven games, the last time the Jaguars won, it was November 18th of 07.
It's a while ago.
Yeah.
The last playoff year. Yeah.
And in those seven games, Phillip Rivers has compiled a 120.3 rating, which is Hall of Fame status, 19 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He has 2,119 yards passing, completed 71.2% of his passes, and in the last two games, he has 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He's been a beast. And just when you start to think that maybe – Phillip Rivers is going to start to show signs of age. He doesn't, you know. And we talked about this in the Doug Marrone show. Ken Whisenhunt and him are like, you know, peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. You know, he's an offensive coordinator that Phillip Rivers has had some of his best years under. And Ken, I've got a lot of respect for him. I played with Ken for a couple years, and he's a very good football coach. He's a very good offensive mind. And they've done a really good job in San Diego, and I think that part of the job that they have done hasn't been able to be shown because of injuries. Mm-hmm. But they've done a good job of trying to restock the shelf, so to speak, of that offense as a whole. You know, they drafted Mike Williams in the first round, the wide receiver from Clemson. He has been hurt. He had a back issue. He just started playing again the last two games. He hasn't really done anything. He's had some drops, as a matter of fact. No, it hasn't been that effective. They drafted Forrest Lamp in the second round. Well, I consider the best offensive lineman in the draft. I'm probably going to have to change that because Cam Robinson has proven to be the best offensive lineman in this draft right now. Hmm. They also drafted Dan Feeney, third round, a guard out of Indiana. Hmm. Many people thought the Jaguars should have selected him in the third round to provide some offensive line depth. And they've signed some guys in free agency. Russell Okung is now their left tackle, who used to be in Seattle, also used to be in Denver. He was a sixth overall pick going back in 2010 with Seattle. But, you know, they've tried to surround, and they realize that Phillip Rivers is, you know, in his 14th year, it's not going to last forever. That they tried to help that offensive side of the ball. But some of the injuries have obviously haven't helped them. But Phillip Rivers is still playing pretty good football, you know.
And they're trending, too, right? I mean, they lost the first four of the season. Now they've rallied and won three, I think, the last five. And
three out of the last four.
And the quarterback, you have a veteran guy like that on a trending football team. That's always dangerous, you know, when they start to smell something. And they have to save their season, really, at some point. They got to start winning some football games.
Well, they got to start winning some football games if they're going to, you know, take, you know, a veteran quarterback and try to utilize him while you got him.
That's right. The
challenging thing for the Chargers, I think, has been obviously the move, the transition from San Diego to L.A., and I think that you can't downplay that at all with what the Chargers have done record-wise, because I think if they were back in San Diego, I think this team would be 500 or have a winning record. Mm. But, you know, a huge transition. You've got a new coaching staff, and I think Anthony Lynn, I've got great respect for him as a person. From everything that I hear, he's a really good football coach. But you know what? They play their home games at the Staples Center. 25,000 seats.
StubHub Center. Yes.
Or StubHub Center. 25,000 seats. And watching the film this week of the San Diego Chargers, when you watch their game at home, you know, when we watch coaches' film, there's three looks that you get on a play. The first thing is they take a shot of the scoreboard and you get, time on the clock, down and distance, score the game, where the ball is out on the yard line. They take a camera and they shoot that before the play.
Like 3 seconds.
And where they're shooting at is typically, just like here at Everbank, you've got that shown all the time. It doesn't get interrupted with commercial signage or anything else. It's right at the 50 on each side of the stadium. So they shoot that first. So when they shoot that, you also get a piece of the stands and what is going on at the StubHub Center.
Yes.
Okay. You wouldn't know that that's the Chargers' home game now at all. At all. In fact, the last game that they played against the Broncos, you would have thought they were at Mile High.
Yeah.
You talk about a challenging year, for this Chargers football team now. That's not an easy thing to deal with. Hell, Philip Rivers is still commuting.
That's incredible.
He's commuting from San Diego to L.A.
For an hour or whatever.
With Kellen Clemens, the backup quarterback, and he's got some John Madden type thing that he can watch film.
Like on the bus or
on
something?
On the way back and forth, and he's got a driver. Because his family is in San Diego, and he's got, wife and kids, and so he does the commute a couple times a week. That's crazy.
It'll wear on you at some point. We started talking about Philip Rivers. Let's talk about Blake Bortles, who is trending in the right direction at the middle of this season now, the last couple of weeks especially. It's not a 400-yard, 4-touchdown games. He hasn't had a lot of that kind of action in his career. But this is a good thing for this Jaguars team to have him managing the game well, very efficient, making good decisions, and he's got a run game to go with it no matter who's back there. The O-line's helping him out a lot. But Blake has come through, and you gave him credit in the post-game interview when you talked to him that, hey, it's a lot on him. He's worked hard to get to this point.
And I thought it was his best game. You go back 2 weeks ago against Indianapolis, he had a better rating. It was like a 124.
Yeah.
This past game, I think it was a 91.9. But with my eyes, I thought this game against the Bengals was better just because if you look at the completions, what were the receivers able to do after they catch the ball? The ball placement by Blake was exceptional to where they could do things with the ball after they got it in their hands. In other words, he's hitting them in the place that allows them to get yak, which is yards after catch. Alan Hearns on an underneath route. Marquise Lee on an underneath route. Bam, hitting them in stride, and they keep on running. There was one ball that the placement wasn't great, but I don't know if that was so much on Keelan Cole that he made that circus catch. I think Blake was expecting him to be in a little bit different position, but it worked out. And heck, he was actually able to continue to run.
Yes.
It wasn't because of ball placement.
I don't know how.
That was just because of the freakish catch that he made. Yeah. But, look, smart decisions, ball placement, not making risky throws. The ones that almost were intercepted were deflections. The one that was off of, I think it was Jeremy Parnell's shoulder or helmet. I don't put that on him, although, he could stand up high and not try to sidearm a little bit. But a really good game, I thought, by him.
Let's go to University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Thursday Night Football on the call for Westwood One tonight. His pride of the Jaguars left tackle, Tony Boselli. He joins us each and every week from the broadcast booth for Thursday night. What's up, Tony?
What's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well. Your thoughts on the Blake Bortles thing here. What's left? What's the downfield shots, I guess, are really the next thing for him. But the way he's playing want that? Do you want to just keep this going?
Well, to me, it's the next step is what happens when we're down two scores and the quarterback has to bring us back. That's the next thing we got to see.
Or a close game in the fourth quarter that, you're tied. What is he going to do?
Right. There's going to be, in these last eight games, there's going to be at least one game where we're going to have the ball and have to go down quickly to score, or we're going to be down two possessions in the fourth quarter, and it's going to be on the quarterback. In this league, there's times when the quarterback has to make plays. I'm doing a game tonight where Russell, you watch the Seattle Seahawks. Now, he does it the entire game. He is the entire team. But he puts this team on his back, and they win because of him on offense. That's the next step for Blake Bortles. Can he be that type of quarterback? Maybe he can't. But that's what we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, you brought up, the deep balls.
Yeah.
Look, and I want to see deep balls, just like everybody else. Because they're explosive plays.
You got to get chunk plays.
Well, They have gotten chunk plays. I mean, against the Colts, I mean, it was chunk play after chunk play. They also had explosive plays against the Bengals. But, you know, look, you got to have two things to be able to get those vertical deep balls that, you know, you're thinking of Sammy Watkins that Goff hit on this past weekend, those types.
Yeah.
You got to have the receiver to do it, number one. You've got to have the coverage to do it. And I don't think that we've really seen neither one of those happen at just the right time. Now, will it happen eventually? Yeah, possibly. Look, go back against the Rams. It was against the Colts, the one to Keelan Cole. I mean, that was a deep ball. I mean, I think he's your true legitimate deep threat. But, I mean, those things will happen, but you also have to have the opportunity to make those plays happen as well. Because
Jeff, the only way I'll disagree with you, I think they've had the coverage to do it because they're getting a lot of single-eye safety, and that's where you want to take shots.
But they haven't had the calls.
No, the calls. You're right. No, I agree with that. I'm talking coverage-wise, but I don't think the calls have been there or the and whether we have – I mean, do we have the deep threat guy who's going to run by and go win the – you know, make that catch? I mean, I think Marquise can do it, but we haven't seen it consistently. And so maybe that's why they're not calling a lot of those plays.
Yeah, see, I don't think he's a legitimate, you know, to the true sense of Jimmy Smith. I mean, you know, look, everybody.
Well, wait a second, Jimmy Smith? Yeah, of course.
I'm not trying to, you know, I know he's not Jimmy Smith, but my point being is that's what
he's
Jimmy
did. He's not Keenan McCardo.
But he's not Keenan McCardo either because Keenan was just so consistent, but. I think what Marquise's strength is and what he is a run after the catch guy. And
yes.
I don't even think that we've seen him at his best yet. Because how many times, and we've seen this how many times, when Marquise would catch the ball, you hold your breath. Because you knew that he's a threat. He's a threat to go. You know, and he's got another gear. But I don't think we've seen that other gear with Marquise. He's been on the injury report for a couple weeks. He's been good. He's been steady. Look, this past week he had, you know, 75 yards receiving, you know, on was like 8 catches, had a touchdown. Nice game. But we know that Marquise has another gear, and we haven't seen it yet. And hopefully that will start to come back to him.
Sounds like, the offensive line, as Doug Marrone said earlier, if you ask me right now, you think they're going to be back out there. You wouldn't give it all up. But that's a good sign the guys are getting back on the offensive line. You might have your original group or close to it this week.
If the defense wasn't so dominating this year that gets all our attention, you can make an argument the best unit this year or one of the best units is the offensive line. They haven't gotten the credit they deserve. And the reason I say that is no matter who we put back there, we run the ball. The protection has been good. I mean, overall, this is a group that has been outstanding this year. And the fact that we're getting them healthy is going to make them even better. I'm just so impressed what Pat Flaherty's done, what those 5 guys up front have done, including make it 6 with Mercedes Lewis, for a group that Jeff and I were wringing our hands over in the preseason. It's remarkable what they've done.
We were very concerned, and you were panicked.
Yeah, I was panicked. I'm not going to lie.
He was. He told you he was panicked.
I lost
now.
Sleep. I was staying up at night. I was bothered by the offensive line. I care about those guys, and I was like, my goodness, we're not playing very well.
Tony was panicked after the draft. Then he got more panicked in the preseason.
And then after that Houston game, I said, boy, was I wrong, and I'm happy I was.
Yeah.
We'll come back and get into the Jags defense against this Chargers offense. More with Tony Boselli from Arizona as well. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Well, we had a misunderstanding, that's all. And, I mean, that's out the way now. Did my time, did my punishment, and now we're on to LA Chargers. So I have to do a better job of communicating with Coach Doug, and like I said, we moved on to the next. It was aggravating, you know what I mean? You know, as a competitor and also a player, you know, you want to go out there and play with your brothers, you know. But like I say, it's just another lesson that I have to learn and grow up from. Like I said, man, you know, I never really got in trouble in college or anything, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's one of the first things that I've really did and went through. And like I say, man, it's a mistake. It's never going to happen again.
There's your running back, Leonard Fournette, who will have not played in an NFL game in nearly a month the time he suits up on Sunday. Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. Nice mid-rookie season respite for an ankle injury a couple of weeks ago.
Nobody knew it was coming.
No.
You know, hour and a half before kickoff, all of a sudden he's an inactive designation. You're like, what? And, then it comes out, violation of team rules. Doug made that statement. So not a suspension, but just an inactive designation. And, we said it in the broadcast that, it's a good thing to have a game like you had against the Bengals to where you win, you run the ball effectively, because I think it puts home the message to the player that was inactive because of violating team rules that, look, you're not that important. You know, so
you're a good player. You know, we got other good professional players too.
But you need to do things the right way, and so I thought that was real positive.
Yeah, sounds like he's taken to it too, and is going to be on time from now on.
Be inactive again.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, he's saying all the right things, and I believe him. But you find out long term if it's worked.
And look, there has been not even a whisper about anything bad about Leonard Fournette.
No.
You know, and I'm not talking here. I'm talking pre-draft process, the evaluation, the commentary from the scouts, the coaching staff at LSU. They had nothing but, glowing things to say about Leonard Fournette. So whatever he did, it's not like it's a habit that you're expecting to see again. So, I expect him to be motivated.
Yeah, you think?
And if there was ever a game to be motivated and fresh, it would be against this Chargers defense that is near the bottom of the league in run defense. And they have maybe the best edge rush combination that there is in the league. Pound them.
Are they the best in the league in those rushers?
Tony, in my opinion, I'm trying to think of two guys that are, edge rushers in the league, and obviously you go to some of the best edge rushers, which, Von Miller. Who's on the opposite side of Von Miller? Mm-hmm. You don't know, right?
Top of my head, no.
I think this is the best edge rushing combination in the league right now.
No, I agree. I mean, it's right up there. I mean, you look at this. Seattle has a couple we're getting ready to watch tonight.
Yeah, you talk about Von Miller on the other side.
But Jeff's right. I mean, they're as good as anybody. And it's going to put a ton of stress on Cam Robinson and Jeremy Parnell. And Cam Robinson was not at his best last week. You could tell his ankle was bothering him the way he moved. And he will be stressed against Joey Bosa on Sunday.
Joey Bosa is the best young pass rusher I've seen.
Yes.
In a long time. I mean, from power, athleticism, motor, hands.
The way he uses his hands, for a young player is remarkable.
Which, Tony, when we watched him, the college tape on him, we were of the opinion that, boy, he's really advanced with his hands. And you used to look, his dad was a former NFL player. Okay, you can understand maybe why. But the one thing that we kind of said about him, or at least I said about him, was that you wonder how high the ceiling is. Well, he's got 19 sacks in 20 games. That's an NFL record.
It's a pretty high ceiling. Yeah,
that's an NFL
record.
He's
going to be okay.
He's going to be challenged now. And, it's that strong side end, Leo, Gus Bradley language. And so Bosa sometimes will be on Parnell. Ingram will be over on Cam Robinson, and then vice versa. So that's a great matchup now for these guys. And Ingram is moving as quickly and as athletically as I have ever seen him move.
Well, you know what they're doing. I mean, and we know Gus. They're playing like Gus wants them to do. They're playing fast. It's a defense that's not super talented all over. But it's a defense that plays really fast and led by those defensive ends, and they run around and hit you. And it's going to be a really good test for this offense. I turn on the tape, and I haven't watched – they had a bye last week. The week before, I haven't seen that game yet, but I've seen two earlier games. And it's an impressive I mean, you turn on the tape and watch them, and it's a good unit. It's not a great unit. It's not great personnel. Their back half is very average from a talent standpoint. But they play fast. They're physical up front, and they got two really good pass rushers.
Yeah, the one thing that about Gus's defense that, you know, when he was here, you know, you had Odrick. He would be the strong side end playing what they called the 4B technique. Well, in Gus's defense that he has evolved in San Diego, Joey Bosa is the strong side end, which would be the 4B. The Leo is obviously Melvin Ingram. But I will say, credit to Gus, Joey Bosa's not playing a 4B.
No. He puts him where he can excel.
Okay, which to me is a wasted pass rush when you line up a guy as a 4B. Well, Gus is smart enough to realize, obviously, that Joey Bosa doesn't need to be in a 4B. He needs to be in a 5. And then you adjust what happens behind from a safety standpoint. And he's allowing Joey Bosa to get better angles, you know, instead of that 4B stuff.
Sure. Speaking of confidence and playing fast, this Jaguars defense has all of that right now. And Phillip Rivers has beaten this team a lot. They've got some weapons. You mentioned the injuries in the offensive line early in the year for this Chargers team. Tony, as a group, I don't know how much you've watched of the Chargers offensive line, but what do you make of that five up front?
Just okay. I think the biggest problem that the San Diego Chargers have as an offense, they have no identity. I don't think they know what they want to be. I mean, they want to get Melvin Gordon going and run the ball, and then they got Phillip Rivers back there, and they don't have a lot of speed at the receiver position, and you know Phillip wants to throw it all the time, and so they have no rhythm as an offense, and up front they're just okay.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say Russell Okung, the left tackle, great athlete. You know, I don't think he is as good as he should be, because I think athletically he's very gifted. I think he should be a better left tackle than what he's been in his career so far. They had an injury to Matt Slauson two games ago, which was against the Denver Broncos. And so now they have the rookie Dan Feeney in, the third-round pick at left guard. And Feeney looks like he gets overpowered. He looks like a rookie. The center, Spencer Pulley, solid guy, nothing special. The right guard, Kenny Wiggins, below average. The right tackle, they've got an issue. Joe Barksdale, who has been their right tackle, has been inactive.
He can be a turnstile at times.
He what?
He can be a turnstile at times.
Yeah, and he's not very good, but he's been – so, in other words, if he's been the starter and he's inactive the last two games because of a foot injury, can you imagine what's coming in next? Yeah. Well, coming in next is Michael Schofield, and he's been terrible.
He's awful. He's terrible. Got cut by Denver, and Denver has a bad offensive line.
With a capital T, terrible. So
terrible. If as Charles terrible. Would say. Yeah.
If I'm Calais Campbell, Dante Fowler, Yannick Ngakoue, let me line up against 78, coach, every chance I can have. Please.
We'll be fighting for it.
Please let me have 78.
Now, the hard part about with Phillip Rivers is he gets rid of the ball so quick. It's hard to get there. And so the sack numbers might not be at a big number this week, and that's okay. What you want to do is you want to hit Phillip a lot and get him off his spot.
Only been sacked 11 times this year, which is that's him now.
You can still affect him, though, and not sack him.
Oh, yeah, you can affect him, but you're not going to sack him much. You're just going to – you just need to hit him.
Which is fine. Get him, like Tony said, get him off the spot, make him move. I mean, look,
bat some balls down at the line.
Phillip Rivers, when he runs, doesn't look very good. Okay. Okay.
He looks like you and I running.
Yeah, he really does. The knees look old. It looks like, you know, Marino back in the day kind of running. But, you know, surprisingly enough, which is you wouldn't think this, but, you know, he's got pocket moxie. And when he runs, it looks terrible because physically it doesn't look like he can run anymore. But when he throws it, he can still throw it accurately from the run, you know. And being the true competitor that he is, he's challenged now. He's a big challenge for this football team.
See, I hope they try to get Melvin Gordon going, because I don't think that's who they are. And I think that's been the problem with the Chargers watching them this year. and the tape that I've watched so far, when they're at their best, they just need to let it, put it on Phillip Rivers' back. Now, that's a challenge against the defense of the Jaguars because of the secondary that they have. But I think that's the only chance the Chargers have this week, because they're not, with that offensive line, they're not going to run the ball against the Jaguars' defense.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, well, what about Antonio Gates, right?
What about Antonio Gates,
well,
Logs?
He's still playing, okay, and he's a Hall of Famer. I'm on roller skates now, skating in the can. Great player.
Okay.
When you watch the film, and Tony will echo this because it's started to show in the last couple of years, and this year it's becoming very apparent. When you watch the film, Phillip Rivers is looking initially towards Antonio Gates. But the speed and the time that it takes for Antonio Gates to run the route, Rivers doesn't have time to wait any longer because Gates has slowed down. You know, he's still a great red zone receiver and always will be.
We know that firsthand,
by the way. But it takes him longer to get there and takes him longer to get open. And so Phillip is not finding him all that much. You know, Hunter Henry is getting more snaps than Antonio Gates. You know, the young tight end that they drafted last year out of Arkansas, and he's a good football player now, Hunter Henry.
Yeah, we know that firsthand. Antonio Gates has burned this football team. Really,
he's number one all-time among tight ends with 112 career touchdowns, third all-time in receptions with 912, third all-time in yards with 11,336 yards. He has been a great player, one of the all-time great players.
Eight career touchdowns against the Jags, by the way. One last year, two in the game 2 years ago against Jacksonville. Let's come back and we'll get into tonight's game. Thursday Night Football, the Seattle Seahawks, the Arizona Cardinals. Tony Buscelli will break it down. We'll see how far ahead I moved, even further ahead in picks from week to week.
All I want to know is how much did I gain on you?
We'll find out when we return. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Man, I was talking to my mother, man, and, you know, around this time, you know, week eight, week 9 and 10, you know, I'm typically sitting at 2-6, 2-3, and, you know, 1-7, and it's just like, it's a crazy feeling to know, like, I'm in the top of the division winning. And, you know, it's like this team is just picking up its momentum. That's the scary part about it. It's like this team is just starting to find out how to play consistent, and you can see it. You can see that it clicked.
Deshaun Gibson today in the locker room had a lot to say about this organization so far this year. Now, remember, he'd been with the Cleveland Browns before he came here, yeah. So it's been he's never been on a winning football team at this point of the year. So interesting perspective there. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman here in Jacksonville. Tony Buscelli, as you can hear, is at University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale,
yes,
Arizona, for Thursday Night Football. The Seahawks and the Cardinals will do battle tonight, Tony, and it's a great matchup out west tonight.
Oh, it's exciting. I mean, it's a big rivalry in the NFC West. Now, Arizona under Bruce Arians has never beaten the Seahawks in the University of Phoenix Stadium here in Arizona. They tied them last year 6-6.
Was that the blocked extra point field goal game or something?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And it's I think Arizona is in for a tough sled tonight. You know, they got Adrian Peterson, but he had 37 carries last week against the 49ers, which is the most carries for anyone over the age of 30 in the history of the NFL. And now he's going to come out here and play at the age of 32 4 days later, and I'm just not sure what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, but he's not normal.
Well, he's not normal, but, Jeff, at some point, I mean, there's only so much the human body can do. And Drew Stanton, a quarterback, I mean, he's not going to give you a ton. And the Seattle defense is still really good. Now, they have no Earl Thomas today, and so they're not quite as good in the back half without him. But I think it's going to be tough for Arizona to score. They need a low-scoring game, and they might get one because Seattle on offense, their running game is atrocious.
Is their running game so bad?
None of the backs are great. Chris Carson, who got hurt week 4, is still the leading rusher among Seattle running backs, and losing him hurt. And Rawls is playing, but he missed a couple games because of a high ankle sprain. Eddie Lacy's done; he has nothing left. Watching the tape now, he's hurt tonight, so he won't play. And they're just – they don't have a lot of talent and off, up front. They're just okay. They're
How's Luke Jokel? Is Luke Jokel back from his knee surgery?
He's hurt. He had knee surgery, so he's still out a couple more weeks. He's got Dwayne Brown on the left side now. They're just okay up front. And, you know, they just get nothing going. But Russell Wilson is the leading rusher for this football team. I mean, he does everything. He's fourth overall in passing in the NFL. I mean, he leading rusher for the team. They only can do what he can do. And offensively, he's really good. They lead the league in penalties, the Seattle Seahawks team. So they had a series last week against the Washington Redskins. It was first and 10 from the 14 going into score. Had a great drive put together. They ended up third and 30 from the 34-yard line and then ended up missing a field goal and got no points out of it.
Yeah, I watched that. It was like, what are you doing?
What's going on out here?
You know, but they're good defensively now still. They're playing better and better against the run. The last 3 weeks, the yards per carry is about 3.2, the opposing teams against them. So they're pretty good on defense.
Yeah, the thing that's always impressed me about Russell Wilson, and I know that the phrase or the term Joe Cool is kind of thrown around with, obviously, Joe Flacco in Baltimore. I don't know. I remember what was a couple of years back when Russell Wilson was named starter and we were out there in Seattle. And I remember talking to Pete Carroll about Russell Wilson, you know, because I remember watching the film leading up to that game. That was soon after he was named starter. I think it was his second year. And it just, he impressed me so much because he's so cool and so calm under pressure. You never see anything body language or decision making from him that would indicate he's panicked. It's almost like he's got this, from the very get-go, he's had that kind of sage veteran presence with his play, which is why he's so good now. Fun to watch.
Yeah, he's special. He is a special player. He is the leader of this team, and he makes it go. And he's fun to watch, too. Now, you turn the tape on, he is a lot of fun to watch because he is electric back there making things happen. But you look at the Seattle offense, their best play, Jeff, is the broken play when it's extended, off schedule.
And that's always been the thing with Russell Wilson. And the knock on him has been is that he doesn't go through progression very well.
Ask Pete Prisco. He'll tell you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take him.
Hey, you know what else is fun to watch? Last week's results of the picks.
Oh,
how about this?
Dude.
And the standings for the season. We pick each and every game in each week around the National Football League. Last week, though, Tony Boselli led the way 9-4. JP, you and I. Logs, you and I are both 8-5 last week. I still lead the way, 86-46.
Okay.
Both 79-53. Logs,
75. I'm closing the gap.
57.
Closing the gap.
No, you're not. You will not get there. So, let's start with tonight's game. Tony, I know you have the call. You might have the advantage.
Yeah,
in
it's Seattle.
Here.
I'm picking Seattle. I can't see the Arizona Cardinals scoring points.
All right. Seattle here as well. Logs?
I'll take Seattle.
Of course you will. Great game.
Unless Gabbert were starting, I might take Cardinals.
Saints at 6-2 at the Bills at 5-3. Good matchup.
That's a tough one now. Buffalo, yep. You know, they lost one.
They're home.
I got the Saints.
I'm taking Buffalo at home. They defend their home turf well.
Yeah, Saints on a little bit of a roll, 6-2. Mm-hmm. Playing better defense.
Make a pick, Logs. Tonight.
I'm taking Buffalo at home.
Yeah, good call. Packers, 4-4 at the Bears, 3-5.
Bears.
Packers for me.
I'm taking the Bears.
Browns at Lions.
Lions.
Yep, across the board. Steelers at the Colts.
Steelers.
Okay. Pittsburgh for me as well.
Same.
Yep. That's everybody. Jets at the Buccaneers. Well, the Bucs are falling apart here, guys. Jets for you, huh? Jets for me. So much for the
Ryan,
suck for Sam,
Ryan
by the way, Tony.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bucs got issues. I'm taking the Jets.
Yep.
And they lost. They're going to be without Winston, without Mike Evans. I'll take the Jets.
Well, Winston's eating W's. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, what was that all about anyway?
It's the worst pregame speech I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
Paying $12,000 fines from the sideline.
Didn't Brunell do something like that? Didn't Jameis Winston steal that from Mark?
I think Mark's mentoring Winston on pregame speeches.
Yeah. Let's see. The Bengals at the Titans.
Titans.
I'm going to go Cincinnati just because. Yeah. In Nashville. Bengals need it.
God, that's a tough one. I will take.
Tonight.
Who did you take, JP?
Cincinnati.
I'll take Tennessee.
Yeah, you will. Vikings at Redskins.
Vikings.
Redskins.
Vikings.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to go Washington.
Vikings.
Texans at Rams.
That horn's going to be blown.
Rams are hot right
LA.
Now. I'm going to L.A., yeah.
Yeah,
LA.
Rams.
L.A.
I love L.A.
Jaguars, by the way, JP, for me.
Thank you. Giants at Cowboys-Falcons.
Falcons.
Cowboys knows Zeke Elliott, by the way.
Elliott. So, yeah, I'm going Atlanta. You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm taking the Cowboys. Of course you are.
Giants at Niners. Ugh. Do we have
49ers.
Get a win. Yes.
Okay. I'll go Giants just because. This would be different from you guys.
And then Sunday night, Patriots-Broncos.
Patriots.
Yep. All the way. Monday night, Dolphins-Panthers.
Panthers.
Miami for me.
Carolina.
You going with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tony?
You know I always do, JP.
As do I. Not always, but
no,
I do this week. I will this week.
Don't you ever say that.
I will this week.
That is a lie.
The Jaguars are on a roll right now, as is JP Shadrick.
It's a challenging game, though, now for this football team.
It's tough, right?
This is a tough game.
I think it's a tough game. I think it's a close game.
Real tough game.
Jags need to win a close game, as we discussed earlier. Hey, Tony, have a fantastic call tonight in Arizona.
All right, guys. I'll see you in Jacksonville this weekend.
Tony Buscelli, Westwood One radio analyst for Thursday Night Football. It's the Seahawks and the Cardinals. We'll come back with a look around the National Football League and some final thoughts ahead of the Chargers-Jaguars matchup this Sunday at 1 o'clock at Everbank Field. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
For a guy with my kind of attitude, it was perfect because he allowed me to be myself. And that's something that a lot of coaches don't allow a young guy like myself, because I come in talking rowdy, you know, and a lot of people like shut up and you know, the statement you need to be seen, not heard. And those who are heard and not seen won't be seen, whatever, you know. So that I think that was the greatest. And just his joy and his aura that he gave off to the whole organization. I tried to take from that and build who I am.
Telvin Smith earlier this week discussing the impact of Gus Bradley on his career. Late round pick, worked his way up, leader right away. Actually said he talked with Gus. Gus texted him a congratulations, and they talked briefly just after he signed that extension. So good.
Yeah, look, Gus is held in high regard. You know, I think personally, on a personal level, with a lot of people, you know, obviously the wins didn't come as the head coach here. But you know, when people talk about Gus, they don't talk. But the people that know him, they don't talk about the wins and losses.
No.
You know, they talk about Gus the person, and I've got great respect for him. I've got great respect for him as a coach, and he's doing a really good job for the Chargers. He's done great things in the past. He did good things with this football team. And I think a lot of players, to a person, would probably tell you, no, they didn't win enough games. But number two, and most importantly to them, they learned a lot from Gus.
Let's look around the National Football League and start off with the biggest news today. The Dallas Cowboys will be without Ezekiel Elliott. Suspension is back on again, apparently, this time for good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, I think there's a hearing that can be scheduled about 3 weeks from now that could change that. But by that time, he would have missed four games. And so you're 2 weeks away from, you know, fulfilling the obligation of the suspension. I would be surprised if you would want to kind of carry it over any further than that, you know. At that point, I would think it would just be, hey, let's just get this over with and get back to playing, because he would be able to play for their last two regular season games if he starts the suspension now.
So they might need for a postseason push.
Hey, Jerry Jones is hot now.
Yeah, how about that? Right?
He's hot.
There's stories that he's hiring lawyers in case
Roger
Goodell's contract's extended.
There's a lot of different things going on. I mean, you're talking about going after the league. There's talk about sabotage with the contract extension talks with Roger Goodell, about making Roger Goodell's contract, instead of being salaried, having incentives in there. I mean, there's all kind of talk, and none of it's coming directly from Jerry Jones. But, Jerry talks, so I would be surprised if a lot of that stuff were not true.
He talks all the time. To everybody.
Yeah, but he hasn't talked specifically about Roger Goodell.
Right.
And that's kind of what I'm referring to. Yeah. Usually with Jerry, where there's smoke, there's a pretty good fire. And I think that there is certainly that in this instance.
Some fines doled out from the fighting last week. AJ Green got $42,000. I think the minimum for first offense fighting is in the 30s.
It's a high 30s, and so he was over the minimum.
Yes.
Which is good. I thought that if the Bengals weren't playing the Texans, I would have been screaming for a one game
Titans,
suspension.
Yes, Titans
or the Titans.
Yes.
But he's playing the other leader at the AFC South. So you want them out there, and hopefully they can do something because right now the Bengals are not playing good football.
Jameis Winston, on the other hand, got over $12,000 for touching the back of the defensive back from the sideline.
Yeah.
And then Mike Evans came in and cleared him out and got a game suspension.
And uncalled for, and he came out and he apologized for it. So Jameis didn't have a good day. The thing about eating fingers and the W poking the opponent, entering the field of play and poking an opponent in the back of the helmet, then – obviously getting the response that Mike Evans had, and then he gets, suspended for a game. That's not good by Jameis.
Not a good day.
Not a very good day.
Old Jameis Winston. The Colts release Vontae Davis. It's getting a little weird there. Was he injured?
Was he injured?
Is he going to have surgery or not? There's conflicting sources there.
Well, there's a lot of issues going on with the Colts right now. There's that issue with Vontae Davis, where Vontae Davis said, or his agent said, that he believes that he might need surgery, that a muscle was pulling off of the bone and is growing, I guess. Mm. And you can't release a player when he's hurt, okay? You can't.
Right.
Okay? And then the general manager, Chris Ballard, who's a first-year general manager, he was hired after Ryan Grigson was outed in this past offseason. He has come out and said that medically Vontae Davis was cleared and that his performance was not up to par. Well, then, head coach Chuck Pagano gets up in front of the media and starts talking about how, decisions are made in the best interest of the team. He loves Vontae Davis. And then talks about how he's not going to talk about it anymore. He doesn't want the media to ask his defensive coordinator, Ted Monachino, about it. And then you have the other issue with the Colts. Andrew Luck.
That's the other issue. Yeah, no, that's the issue, obviously.
And the big issue with that is that, there's a website that I want to say nearly everyone in the league follows, which is Pro Football Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw something out there today that said that if a fan were to file a lawsuit for fraud against the Colts, how would the courts perceive that? And what they were talking about specifically was, the owner Jim Irsay was, saying all season long, Andrew Luck will be ready by the season. Andrew Luck will be ready by the season. And now there's questions. Was he or did he have a chance of being ready for the season opener? And if they knew that he could possibly be not or could not be ready for the opener, is that fraud? And so I'm not a lawyer.
I'm certainly not.
And reading that Pro Football Talk put out there, I mean, look, it's got a chance from what they believe,
Well, lawyers will always believe there's a chance. Remember this, Logs.
No, I know.
There's always a chance.
I know that, but that's interesting. You know, it's,
no offense,
and I said all the way back, you know, in August that, you know, something's up. Something's not right, you know, with Andrew Luck. I mean, when he hadn't started throwing yet and it was July, something wasn't up to par as far as what was being communicated at that point. Because even at that time, they were staying by their guns and saying he'll be ready for the season opener, we believe.
We go from the Colts' medical issues to the Green Bay Packers' medical issues. The Packers cut tight end Martellus Bennett for his failure to disclose a medical condition. The Patriots claimed him off the waiver wire. Interesting.
Yeah,
this
week. I think the Packers were probably looking for a reason. Martellus Bennett has a reputation as being a little bit of a strange bird, and from what I read and from the way I understand it, Martellus Bennett didn't report this injury during the bye, which that's not the first time that it's probably happened in league history, because a player doesn't want to report a new injury in a bye, because if he has a new injury, guess what has to happen? He has to report for treatment every day during the bye week, which means he doesn't get time off or away from Green Bay. So my guess is that Martellus Bennett had a small injury, did not report it so that he would still have his time away from the facility, away from Green Bay, comes back, reports it, and because there probably wasn't this warm, fuzzy feeling about having him anyway, the team took it as an opportunity to release him. And the Patriots have gladly picked him up because he's been a good football player for the Patriots.
On the Super
especially
Bowl team, yeah.
Gronkowski's absence last year.
That's right. So he's back in New England. There's our look around the National Football League. Chargers, Jaguars on Salute to Service weekend here at Everbank Field. American flags will be handed out. There's a flyover. All the pregame festivities will happen throughout the day here at Everbank Field. Each of the Jaguars helmets will have a special sticker with a different branch of military service on it, the Salute to Service ribbon. So a lot going on. Camouflage, armbands and everything on the field. Some guys will have gloves, and that's just how this goes. A lot of ceremony and all that, pregame, halftime, third quarter, all that happens, and it's going to be a fantastic day. It's going to be a good ball game, too. The Chargers, they're surging a little bit. They need this win. The Jaguars certainly are surging. They're tied for first place. They want to keep building that momentum towards the true stretch run of the season and get something going here. And this ought to be a pretty good matchup, really good matchup.
I think it's a challenging matchup. I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere inside Everbank. You know, and
it was loud last week.
It was loud, and I think it's going to continue to build this week because, I mean, look, it was awesome to see Everbank having the wave going on in the fourth quarter. When's the last time that happened? You know, and even though the Jaguars were on offense and the wave was going,
it's okay, whatever.
It's okay.
Yeah, they were running the ball anyway.
You know,
who
I mean,
cares?
You like right. to be a little bit smarter and have it when the defense is on the field, but the defense wasn't on the field too much to even have the wave anyway. So, look, I mean, you got to take your opportunity and grab it. So, I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome.
I think the last wave during – probably in London. I think they did it 1 year in London when the Jags were up. That might be it.
All I know is that all I care about is what happens – and what has happened here, because it's been a long time since fans have been excited about this football team, and they're excited right now, and they should be because they're playing good football.
Yep, 5-3, tied for first. We'll always watch what the Titans are doing. It's a two-horse race in the division with 8 games to go.
Yeah, because
here we go.
I mean, what are the Colts going to do? They've no opportunity.
Not
you know,
much.
But I'm not going to count out the Texans now.
Really, even without a quarterback?
No, because I got a lot of respect for Bill O'Brien. I think he's one of the best coaches in the National Football League, and the job that he's been able to do with that Houston Texans team over the last couple of years, I mean, you can't discount them yet. Not yet.
Soon.
Not yet.
Soon.
Soon, but not yet.
Soon. Real soon.
Not yet.
Like, soon. Jags Chargers coming up. Well done. We'll see you on Sunday, Logs.
You got it.
Hollywood Max Hockman for Jaguars.com tonight. Joe Fortunato with our audio for Logs and Tony Buscelli. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.